Hey, peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. What is going on, crypto family? So today we got the CEO of Onchain Custodian with us. We got Alex, man. So thanks a bunch for coming on. Appreciate you. How's everything over there in Australia treating you?
Well, thanks. It's going fine. Yeah.
Great, great. So we're doing kind of a new program segment where it's called, Beatles Top 22. We're in like 22 minutes. We try to get to the bottom of, you know, the project, the people behind it, all that kind of cool stuff, make it, you know, kind of fun and interactive for the audience and not, spam them with a ton of unneeded information. They just want to get to the meat of it, so to speak. So I guess to start off, you know, let's just talk about yourself a little bit. How'd you get into crypto? How'd you, become part of Onchain? Tell us a little about your background, family, hobbies, all that kind of cool stuff.
Sure. So I used to work in the traditional banking and capital market industry for about 20 years, starting at the Bank of New York and then moving to SWIFT, which is the cross-border payment network. About 3 to 4 years, I was acquainted with blockchain as a technology first, not too much the digital aspect of it, the crypto aspect of it, more the technology, and fell in love really with it. I saw the light, as I tend to say my friends when they ask me why I moved to the dark side, and progressively got increased my knowledge of the technology, then understood that the technology without the tokens don't mean anything. So got familiar with the cryptocurrencies, the utility tokens, and other tokenization projects. Started to buy some crypto, and in 2015, 16 was it? Yeah. Enjoyed the ride, ups and downs, for the last 3-4 years, with a clear beliefs that tokenization is the future of economy, and I think that I want to be part of it. So when I was contacted by Onchain Custodian to run the business that they wanted to launch in Singapore, I jumped on the opportunity, really.
Awesome. So you actually left, you know, quite a prestigious job there, right? So you were at, was it Bank of New York Mellon, right? So you were there.
Yes.
And then you went to kind of a startup of sorts, right? So what'd the family think about that?
I actually left SWIFT after 18 years in that company, where I was last head of securities and FX for Asia Pacific. So as you said, quite a prestigious job, but I think the family was okay. I was wondering why I was doing that. I guess it's some sort of a midlife crisis. I'm 47 years old. If I don't do that now, I'm not going to do it later. So I think, I did have a little of a sleepless nights a few months, actually, waking up in sweats, wondering what the hell am I doing. But at the end of the day, I don't regret anything.
Yeah. What was the family saying to you? I mean, you know, especially like when we had, you know, the I guess we could call it the pop, right? And the first part of 2018. So you come over, you know, crypto's, you know, starting to, you know, plummet. People are calling it a scam. People are calling it dead, you know, and then hey, here you are, you left SWIFT. You know, what's going on with your family, man? What are they saying?
Part of the family don't understand what I'm doing. That's first in terms of business. So they're not even aware of what Bitcoin is. That would be my parents, you know, 80 plus. So what do you want to say? They're not really interested in the topic, but for my wife and kids, I think they were excited that I was trying something new, really. The conditions of employment are good as well. So, we are a startup, but we are well-funded by Sequoia Capital as a first funding round. So let's say that it was not a jump into the complete unknown. We have good backers. The company has been founded by Da Hongfei, as we discussed earlier. Da Hongfei is a well-known, renowned person in the crypto space, at least in Asia Pacific, and I think globally as well. So let's say that I had some reassurance that it would not be a jump into black hole.
That's awesome. So no regrets. You're glad that you left the old guard, and now you're on with a new guard and excited for the future?
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. The conference attendees yesterday, I said I was inviting them to join us in the other side, because I think that's the future, and they're going to lose their job if they don't.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I mean, especially if you just look at their actions, not their words, you see how they're all, you know, creating their own coins, or they're getting their own systems in place, you know, while bashing Bitcoin or asking for SEC help in the meantime. But I definitely think that the banks are aware that their days are numbered if they keep the current course that they're on. So it's exciting, man. It's very exciting. So I guess that kind of brings us now to Onchain, right? So you're now the CEO over at Onchain. What kind of problems are you guys trying to solve?
So we're really looking at institutional players who don't want to spend the energy, time, and money, actually, to build a robust operational and technological technological environment for managing their private keys. At the end of the day, it's what it comes down to. So we have built a platform that secure digital assets, being cryptocurrencies, utility tokens, and in the future, securities tokens, to do exactly that. So crypto exchanges, for example, we're onboarding two as we speak, would be using us to do their cold storage of the coins they don't use on a day-to-day basis. Crypto funds, generally long-holding funds, would just park their crypto in our solution while being able to focus on what they are, their core businesses, which is investing. We also have corporates that would be using us, for example, to manage the tokens they issue and also the capital they raise in crypto. So all, I would say, services around securing tokens and giving them access in a secure way. And of course, at the end of the day, avoiding them to be stolen or misplaced or lost.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So a lot of people don't realize, first of all, what cryptocurrency is, what blockchain is, or the ones that do a little bit, they realize they have to have all these different wallets, right? For all these different cryptocurrencies, they don't really fully understand, what a seed is, what their private key is. They don't understand that if they lose either one of those things, well, especially the seed, then they probably lost all of their funds. With custodians, like yourself, you're basically holding the cryptocurrency for your clients. They'll have access to that cryptocurrency through you guys. So that way they're not really required to custody it themselves. They don't have to remember the seed. They don't have to, basically be their own bank. They're entrusting you to do it. So what kind of problems have you seen in the space so far? I mean, how do you guys store it? Is it off chain? Is it in a hot wallet? Is it air gapped? Like, how are you guys keeping the crypto safe to where people feel safe in knowing that they've relinquished their private keys or their seed, to you, and that you guys are going to do a better job than they are of keeping it safe?
Yeah. So the structure we put in place at this stage, because it's going to evolve and it needs to evolve towards more automated and dynamic storage. The current storage that we have is a cold storage using a multi-sig environment. So the customers would deposit their funds into an account that they open with us at on-chain custodian. Behind the account, it's in fact a public address where they deliver the coins, obviously, but we've created the private keys offline that we're storing them offline in hardware devices that will be used when required to withdraw those tokens later. So there is a time between an instructions to withdraw and the moment where those assets are effectively withdrawn from the accounts, which is a problem, and we acknowledge that. And that's something that we're looking at, our version 2 that we're building for by the end of the year, will be more dynamic. It will leverage technology such as the hardware security modules, HSMs, which allows to store private keys while having access to it in a more automated way, in a more easy and agile way. So that's also something that we are able to do because we are focused on our core business is custody, is doing a lot of research and development on that, on how those assets should be stored and how best that technology should evolve. And that's really what we commit to do to our customers.
Gotcha. So when you're saying like these hardware devices, are you talking about like ledgers and treasures and all these types of things? You just have a shoebox full of them, and you guys are just plugging them into the computers and doing it that way. I mean, what kind of hardware devices are you guys using?
Yes. It's exactly that. So we're distributing private keys across multiple devices. So you need more than obviously minimum two, three or four, depending on the configuration, to sign the transaction. And those devices would be held, of course, in different places, different safes. No one person in the operations of on-chain custodian has access to enough of those devices to do something on its own. That's quite important. But as I said early on, this is not enough for me as a CEO of the company. I really want to evolve that solution to something more dynamic where no human being is intervening into transactions. And technology is getting there. We don't want to experiment in that space, obviously. I don't want to experiment in technology and then realize it doesn't work and 10 or 20 millions are off my custody. So we will take that very slowly. We'll take the time to adapt to the right technology. But our objective is really to make digital assets digital and not offline.
Right. And so for people that want access to their coins, say they want to trade or they have something come up and they need access to the money, how long does it usually take them to, you know, get the coins back from you guys?
So depending on the coins themselves and how speedy the blockchain is, so Bitcoin, for example, is a bit slow, that can, and if they are instructing us within our working hours, it would be done within 30 minutes, an hour. That's not a big deal. At least for those type of customers that we have, it's not a big deal. We realize that for some of the transactions they would want to do, or like staking, for example, and so on and so forth, you would need to be more online. And that's the reason why we're looking at solutions to help our customers with that.
Gotcha. And so for your customers, you know, say for instance, you know, I'm storing 100 Bitcoin with you, you know, and I need access to them for some ICO or something. Do I have like a digital dashboard where I go and I just click some buttons and then it's just automatically sent to me, or do I have to pick up the phone and call you? How's that work?
No, that we do have a user interface, obviously, that we made as user-friendly as possible and as simple as possible to authenticate who is the customer, obviously. So you would go through a login like you would have for a internet banking protocol, where with two or three factor authentications, you would have to, two people would have to authorize transactions. So we're addressing our service to corporates and institutionals. So in those cases, they would have one of the employee that would instruct, and someone else would have to authorize the transactions to make sure that the right level of security and authorization on transactions is present. And then we would take care of the rest.
Gotcha. So this is more for institutional clients of sorts to start with. So that way you would have like the CTO and the CEO, both, they would have to collude together to steal their users' funds. They would say, hey, you know, those guys would have to be in on it, right? It couldn't just be one of them that wants to, you know, basically rob the company and leave to a beach, right? So they need at least two of them to collude to do it. Okay.
It's also flexible, so they can add additional authorizers as they want. So if they want three or four people to sign, that's something that we are building into the platform as well.
Gotcha. And then with your guys' company, how many people, you said it at multi-sig, so how many people on your side need to sign the transaction before they would have access to their funds?
So at the very minimum, we need three people to access the funds. And they would be, of course, individual, different people having to log in with different credentials, being identified by this platform as different people. And as we are all in the same room, obviously, that's also helping making sure that people are watching one another. So it's something that we did very seriously when we hired our staff. We did go through a very in-depth security screening, which is allowed in Singapore, including credit ratings, to ensure that someone would not be tempted to do something bad.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think that most all these exchange hacks, for the most part, I think are inside jobs. I think that they have some people that just, you know, aren't paid very well, and they see all this money coming past them every single day, and they think, what if, right? So what if one day turns into, where'd Bob go? Where'd all the money go, right? So yeah, that's one of the things that I worry about for sure. I know other people's do as well. So to speak to that a little bit, are you guys insured? So say, for instance, you know, you have $100 million under management. How much insurance do you have, and what does that cover?
That's a good question. So we are in the process of finalizing a contract with Lloyd's Underwriters. I can't really confirm that it's a done deal, but this is a discussion that is progressing well. The challenge that we have at this stage, and I think all custodians have, is that insurance companies are quite cold in wanting to insure crypto. So they would insure only cold storage, for example. So I have to be careful when I plan the evolution of the platform, that if I do implement a new type of technology, I will still be insured. So all those discussions take time, and I'd rather them to take time to get the right contract at the right moment. But normally by the end of June, we should have an insurance.
Gotcha. And then say, for instance, I lose my login credentials. How do I regain access to my funds? Me as the user.
So the user interface login credentials would be resettable, like you would reset any user credentials on any platforms. That will require activity on your admin side. So there is always an admin that is assigned for each customer that is managing the credentials for the staff in the client's company, but that would just be the admin would reset the password. We would on our side do what is necessary to verify that it's a valid request, and then make sure that the credentials are reset.
Gotcha. And then how are you guys making money off all this stuff? Is there like a monthly fee, a yearly fee, a transaction fee, maybe some kind of custody fee where you just take a percentage of what you guys are basically, you know, holding in custody? How's that work?
So it's an asset under custody fee. So the more you park with us, well, we have a percentage that we charge on a yearly basis. And then we have some transaction costs, which are not the most expensive ones. It's just to cover some of the costs. And what we also plan to make revenue from is additional value-added services, like allowing our customers to lend their crypto out if they want to do that, to market makers, for example, and also facilitate OTC transactions, providing an escrow service. So a buyer and a seller agree on a deal. They don't trust each other. The seller delivers the coins to our custody service. We keep them until the payment is done, and then we release the coins to the buyer.
Yeah, no, that's a great service too. My buddy Alex Mashinsky, one of our partners with Celsius, they do the loans and interest. So you should reach out to Alex and see.
I know Alex very well. Actually, we're in discussion with him to be a partner of his company.
Yeah, yeah, no, they're great people for sure. All right, cool. And then I guess, you know, some more about yourself. So, you know, maybe what's your favorite book? You know, what's a book that you read that you think maybe shaped your life, or you think other people should read as well?
Good questions. I'm a good fan of a French philosopher called Michel Onfray. I don't know if you know him, but he's a contemporary philosopher who's always quite direct in his interviews on TV. So that would be one, and the name of the book is Cosmos. That's French literature. What else would I think of? I think that's it, really.
Cosmos. All right. Favorite movie? You know, see, I always learn a lot more about a person just by asking, you know, personal questions than I do about the business. And it helps people understand a little bit too. So maybe you know, one of your favorite movies, your go-to movie when you get some time to kill and you're just like, oh yeah, I feel like watching that. What's that one?
I generally don't watch twice the same movie. So if I did watch more than once the movie, it means that it's probably something that I like. So I have two movies I would mention. The first one is, again, a Belgian movie. I'm a Belgian citizen, which actually became famous internationally in the 90s. It's called C'est arrivé près de chez vous, which is, I think, in the English title is Man Bites Dog or something like that. I do recommend you to watch it. And the second one would be Magnolia, with Tom Cruise and I don't remember the other actors, but I love that movie.
Gotcha, man. Old school stuff. All right. And then if you could change anything in the world, it could be in the past, it could be in the future, regulation, doesn't have to deal with crypto at all. What's something that you would change?
I'm not going to say peace on earth, right? That would be too Miss America's answer. Now I would probably share about the challenge of the that we have with global warming and climate change. I do believe that it exists, contrary to some people in the US, and I think we need to work on that. So right. If I could help there, I would. Bitcoin doesn't help too much with the electricity consumption, but you know.
Well, I mean, again, it's one of those things where I guess it depends on where you put your miners. If you're going to put it in some hydro dam where they're just going to get rid of all the excess energy, then it makes sense. But
absolutely,
plugging it in downtown Los Angeles, probably not the best idea, right? So
there are always solutions.
Gotcha. And then, so what's maybe something people don't know about yourself that you know, that they would like to know? Maybe you got some kind of hobby that people don't know that you do. Something about yourself most people don't know.
Well, I guess I'm a drummer, so I play drums. That's awesome. That's a nice thing. And I'm actually taking classes with my 12-year-old son, which is a blast, to be honest. I love it. And the second thing maybe is that I'm initially a translator. So I was privileged to be able to translate a novel when I was 25 years old. So I have my name in a book somewhere.
That's awesome. So you translated it from what, Klingon to English, or from?
American English to French, as they say in the translation world. So it was a Ray Garton book. The Ray Garton, I think, is the one who wrote the series Vampires. I forgot the name of it. And anyway, but it was a fantastic novel.
All right. And then what's the craziest thing that you've ever done? It could be hiking some mountain. It could be, you know, running naked through town, whatever. What's the craziest thing you've ever done that won't put you in jail by saying over the video here?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to discard a few things then. Well, I don't know if it's so exciting, but I'm a fan of bungee jumping. So I did a few jumps here and there in the world. And beyond that, yeah, that's really it. Maybe driving too fast on the highway with my motorcycle, I guess.
Yeah, Autobahn for that there, right? But man, so when you bungee jump, man, what's going through your mind as you as you're leaving the bridge or the platform or the rock? You know, what's going through your mind as you're doing that?
A lot of excitement, a lot of fear at the same time. So excitement and fear together sometimes makes a nice cocktail. And I guess the most difficult jump is probably the second one because you know what you're doing. And it's, yeah. And then it's becomes a drugs. Really
awesome, man. Well, it's been great, you know, getting to know you and hearing about your business. Is there anything else you want to tell the peeps? Any place they should go to learn more, all that kind of stuff?
Well, maybe on the business side, we do onboard crypto exchanges. I was not expecting to onboard crypto exchanges so early in our startup history. And I think it's revealing that crypto exchanges now understand that they can't do everything themselves, that they need to focus on their core business and delegate the rest to people whose core business is to do custody. So that's a good news. And I think with all the exchanges being hacked every 2 weeks, I think it should be a trend. Hopefully it will be a trend that continues. And we are available if you want to discuss.
Awesome, man. What website should we send people to go learn more?
So the website is oncustodian.com. So oncustodian.com. Oncustodian.com.
Very cool, man. Well, thanks a bunch for your time. Appreciate you, Alex. Look forward to hearing about all the updates in the future. We'll definitely be keeping an eye on you. All right. Take care.
God bless.
Hey, peeps. Just a friendly reminder. Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is a co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right. God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.